From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. For over a month, Indian-controlled Kashmir has been on lockdown. Indian security forces have swarmed the Muslim-majority territory. Internet service phone lines have been shut down almost all the time. And it began when India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi made a move to end Kashmir's autonomy. Well, Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan last week warned the world that India's move could trigger a war. Modi thinks Pakistan is bluffing. Maybe so, although it is worth remembering that the nuclear-armed neighbors have fought two wars over Kashmir. So this hour on Point, India, Pakistan, and the tensions now unfolding in Kashmir. And you can join us. What is your question for the situation currently in Kashmir? Do you worry that India and Pakistan could once again go to war? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also join us anytime on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Now, before we dig into the story in Kashmir, we want to spend a couple of minutes on the news this weekend about U.S. efforts to clinch a deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan and possibly bring United States troops or withdraw them from Afghanistan. So joining me now is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Karen DeYoung. She's associate editor and senior national security correspondent for The Washington Post. She's with us from Washington, and we have links to her report at our website, onpointradio.org. Karen, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Hello.
So first of all, let's just talk briefly about the news around the decision and then undecision, I guess, from the White House to invite the Taliban to Camp David here. First, what is the immediate fallout from all that happened on that front in the past day or two?
Well, I think the immediate fallout is no one knows now what the future, if any, of the peace negotiations that have been going on between the United States and the Taliban for the last 10 months. It's not clear whether they're finished. I think they felt like they had come to a deal, and the question was, how was this deal going to be finalized? Who was going to sign it? Where was that going to happen? And all of a sudden, the president announced late Saturday night via Twitter that he had invited the Taliban leaders and the Afghan president to Camp David to talk with them separately, and it was clear that he hoped to come out and kind of like Jimmy Carter with Arafat and Sadat come out, and I'm sorry, with Begin and Arafat come out and sort of announce a deal. But he said in this same tweet, the deal is off because the Taliban had launched an attack in Kabul several days earlier in which an American serviceman was killed.
Right. So on that point, though, Karen, there, first of all, have the Taliban actually confirmed that they received an invitation from the White House?
No, they haven't said. What they have said is that, look, we thought the deal was completed. We thought everything was finished. We were just figuring out when and where it was going to be signed. They haven't mentioned any invitation from President Trump or any plans to come to Camp David. And so we don't really know if they received that invitation and actually plan to come.
Right. It does make you one wonder, though, about the impetus around even the idea to bring the Taliban to Camp David, because there have been multiple attacks in recent weeks, deadly attacks in Afghanistan, launched by the Taliban. Was that not enough to give the White House pause in even thinking about this invitation?
Well, I think that this was a kind of a spur of the moment decision to do it in the first place, and equally spur of the moment to not do it. There have been 16 U.S. service members killed in Afghanistan this year. It's tragic when another one is killed, but the fighting has been increasing there, as one would expect, as they grow closer to a deal and every side wants to get leverage. I mean, as Secretary Pompeo said on television yesterday, the Americans have killed 1,000 Taliban in the last 10 days. So there has been an increase in fighting. Some would say all the more reason to get this deal underway.
Mm. Well, we actually have that moment here that you just referenced from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on CBS's Face the Nation. He was speaking to host Margaret Brennan, and here it is.
We've killed over 1,000 Taliban in just the last 10 days. So it has not been the case that we've been negotiating with our hands tied behind our back.
So 14,000 is where it stays for the foreseeable future?
I can't answer that question. Ultimately, the president's
decision.
Okay,
because it was in the deal that within 135 days was going down to 8,600, and the president said that was happening.
We are absolutely intent upon ensuring that we reduce the risk that we'll have more folks coming back through Dover.
That's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on CBS's Face the Nation. And you heard Margaret Brennan there referencing 14,000. That's the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. So, Karen, do we have any more information about where Mike Pompeo left off that interaction there? I mean, what is going to happen with all the U.S. troops there?
Well, we don't know. I think that the plan was that an initial somewhat more than 5,000 of the 14,000 that are there now would be withdrawn, as the Secretary said, in the first 135 days. The hope was that the rest of them could be withdrawn by the end of next year, which conveniently would put it around the time of the presidential election here. One of the arguments in the White House was whether the president could go ahead and withdraw these 5,000 troops and leave around 8,600 there without really affecting the fighting capacity of the Americans and their ability to train the Afghan troops and everything else that they do. And I think some people, in particular the National Security Advisor John Bolton, had advised the president that he could do that and that he would therefore get credit for a withdrawal, if not a full withdrawal, and would not have to sign a deal with the Taliban.
And finally, Karen, I mean, one keeps wondering what the future of these talks are here, because you mentioned the Afghan president a couple of minutes ago, but Afghanistan President Ghani wasn't even part of these discussions to begin with. I mean, I'm seeing reports here that American officials wouldn't even leave him a copy of the draft agreement. So how is this all going to function? How is the agreement going to get to the finish line?
Well, I think that was a problem throughout, where the Taliban had always said they didn't want to talk to the Afghan government. That was a puppet of the United States, and they would only talk to the United States. And that, for many years, had prevented any talks. And finally, the Trump administration said, okay, we'll talk to you. And as part of those talks, the agreement was that after they gave the Taliban what they wanted in terms of some troop withdrawals, and the Taliban gave the Americans what they wanted in terms of severing ties to al-Qaeda, that the agreement itself would include a commitment by the Taliban to talk to the Afghan government, and that was supposed to happen in the next several weeks after the finalization of the agreement. Now, we don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, Karen DeYoung is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and an associate editor and senior national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Karen, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome.